And the way we'll do it is we'll say the letter, and then we'll say assurance, and then we'll say the reference, and then we'll say the verse. Okay. A, assurance of salvation, 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Okay, we're going to say the reference in the verse a couple of more times so we can really learn it. Okay, 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. One more time. 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
My soul. To God and to the Lamb I will sing, I will sing. To God and to the Lamb I will sing. To God and to the Lamb, who is the great I am, while millions join the theme, I will sing, I will sing. While millions join the theme, I will sing. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on, and when from death I'm free, I'll sing on, and when from death I'm free, I'll sing and joyful be, and through eternity, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And through eternity, I'll sing on.
Chapter number 5, verse number 11. And boy, I hope I read it right. It'll be awful embarrassing if I read it wrong, isn't it? Okay. But verse, I might tell you, maybe I'll just have you quote it, then I won't have to worry about it, will it? Anyway, 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 11 says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And I want to talk to you about this morning, about this record. And of course, this verse, of course, deals with the assurance of salvation. It tells you how to be saved, but it tells you how to know that you're saved as well. Assurance, like salvation itself, is a matter of faith. I mean, you know, you're saved by faith. And if you're going to know that you're saved, you say, well, is that the evidence? No, the evidence of salvation is shown in your works. That's how you know. But, I mean, that's how the world sees your salvation. You know, they can't see your heart. They can hear what you say with your mouth, but they can't see your heart. But they ought to see the evidence of it. And that's a fruit, by the way. That's not something that you and I have to struggle to try to produce. Many times that's what we try to do. We try to produce good works, but the only one that can produce good works is God himself. The only one that can replicate the life of Christ in the life of the believer is Christ himself. And so you're saved by faith. You know for sure that you're saved by faith. Yeah, I mean, because that's the promise of God. But the world knows that you're saved by the fruit that your life produces. And so the world ought to see the fruit. As a matter of fact, that's what they need to see. They need to see that evidence of our salvation. Now, Isaiah chapter number 53 and verse number 1, Isaiah said, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" Now, if you go back to chapter number 1 of Isaiah, you'll find out that Isaiah had said to Israel, he said, "Now come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool." And he had gone down through there and he had listed all of Israel's transgressions. And he said, you know, he said, why should you be stricken anymore? He said, your whole head, from the crown of your head to the sole of your foot, you're corrupt all the way down to the core. And he said, you're in a terrible, terrible shape. And the problem is, the reason that Israel could not get that corrected is because they would not believe God's report. They would not believe God's report about their condition, and they would not believe God's report about how to correct that condition. And man is, by the way, he's the same way now. Man today, you know what he tries to do? Man today is a very religious creature, and he tries by all his religious works in order to be saved and all those kind of things. And the only problem with that is, Paul said of Israel, that they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, went about to establish their own righteousness. And that's what man does today. Man does today. He goes and he sets up and says, well, if you do this, you do that, and you do the other, then God will accept you. But the only problem is that's not what God says about it. So what does God say about it? Well, here's the report that God gives about salvation and how to know that you're saved. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. Now, I want you to notice that's God's record. You say, no, preacher, you're the one doing the preaching. I am doing the preaching, but I am not giving you my opinion. I'm giving you what God said. That's what he said. This is God's record. God's record is that salvation comes a certain way. And you can say, well, that's not what my church teaches. Well, if that's not what your church teaches, then they're wrong. That's just plain and simple. And if I teach something other than what God's report teaches, then I'm wrong. You and I need to know the Word of God. That's why it's important for you to have a Bible. And that's why it's important for you to read the Bible. You need to know. Listen, you don't need to base your eternity on what this preacher says. Because if this preacher's wrong, boy, you're going to be in trouble. But if this preacher is reading from you, and you take your Bible and you read the same thing, and you know, hey, that's what, hey, he's telling us what the Bible says, then you know you've got a firm foundation. We were talking on the way home yesterday, and Tammy was telling me, the lady and the folks that sat behind us, and we talked to them quite a bit, but the lady was telling Tammy about when she got saved, and she said, talk about the church that she went to, and they had three preachers. Two out of the three preachers told them that the Bible was man's words, and it was not all true. Well, listen, if the Bible is man's word and it's not all true, would you tell me who has the authority to tell you what part of it's true and what part of it's not true? You say, well, this Dr. So-and-so says this. Well, do you know then that your faith is based on Dr. So-and-so? Your faith needs to be based upon the Word of God. Listen, one of the reasons that the devil does so much about trying to get all these versions and all these questions about which one is the true Word of God is because he don't want you to have any assurance of which what you're reading is true or not. But let me say to you, this blessed old King James Bible, you can depend on it. You can depend on it. And so we're not going to get into all that. But I want you to know, you got a Bible. You got an English Bible that you can depend on. And you can know that this is what God has to say. And boy, if it's not that way, we're in trouble. If it's not that way, if the Bible that you hold in your lap this morning, if it is not accurate and it is not reliable, then you're no better off than those who sit this morning in a Latin service listening to the priest preach to them in Latin and don't understand a word that they have to say. Your whole eternity is based upon the opinion of somebody else. I'm glad we got a Bible we can trust. One of the reasons we do so much trying to instill the Word of God in you is because we want you to know it's the Word of God and you can depend on it. And so this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. This is God's record. And God has given us something. God says in his record, he said, I have given you something. Well, who's to us? Who was John writing to? Well, he was writing to the believers there in the church there that he was writing to. And he says to them, he says, I want you to know, you who have put your faith and trust in this man called Jesus, God has given you something as a result of that. And so he's given, well, say, preacher, what did he give us? Well, the Bible says he's given to us eternal life. Aren't you glad that you don't have to wait till you die to find out if you have eternal life? How sad it would be to hope that you have eternal life to get to the end of your life and find out that you came up short. There was something else that you needed to do. God's not that way. God wants you to know, and he wants you to know of a certainty that you have life so that you can live your life to the fullest and you can die in peace knowing that your eternal destiny is taken care of. So that's something that God has given us. He's given us eternal life. Not only does he give us it, tell us that we have eternal life, he tells us how we have it, where we have it. How did we get it? Well, you'll notice he says, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in baptism. That's not what my Bible says. This life is in the church. You got to join the Baptist church. If you're not a Baptist, you can't go to heaven. Well, that's not what the Bible says either. This life is in keeping this ritual or that ritual. It's in giving so much money. You got to give so much money. That's not what the Bible says. He says this life is in His Son. Eternal life is in His Son. That way it can be sure to everyone. Because everyone may not have money to give. Everyone may not be physically able to actually be baptized. Everyone may not like this preacher, so they won't join this church. I don't know why they wouldn't like me, but anyway, that's just a fact, you know. I've got some people that, you'd be surprised, I've got some people that actually don't like me. You may find that hard to believe, but that's a fact. But aren't you glad it's not in education? I'm glad it's not in education, because I didn't do too good in that category. All right, now you can tell by my English, and like I say, you ought to read some of these bulletins before my wife gets a hold of it. And, you know, she scratches her head. She says, sometimes she tells me, you have to rewrite this. I don't know how to straighten it out. I mean, listen, if it was in education, I'd be in trouble this morning. But I am glad this life is in His Son. Salvation is a covenant made between God the Father and God the Son. You see, and you have that example. You remember back in the Old Testament, God had promised that Abraham that He was going to give him a son. And you know, he told Abraham, he said, now you get these sacrifices together and you divide them up, you know. And the custom of that day was that when two people were going to make a covenant together, they would get these animals, they would divide it up, and they'd hold hands and walk through the pieces together. And that was a sign that they'd made a covenant. But you'll notice that when Abraham got all those together and he kept the birds away and all that and all that, but you'll notice that God put Abraham to sleep. And God Himself, God alone, walked through those sacrifices. You say, well, what does that mean? That was telling Abraham that God Himself was going to be the one to take care of the problem. Just make sure that the covenant was fulfilled. That's what you call an unconditional covenant. You see, God did that. God took care of salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ came in the world and he represented man. When he stood there before Pilate, you know, Pilate said, now, you know, you tell me, he said, why in the world are they accusing you? They accuse you of all these things. What are you really guilty of? And he didn't answer. You say, well, why didn't he answer? Well, you know, Pilate was trying to find a reason to let him go. And if Jesus would have said, hey, listen, I'm not guilty of all those things, and you know it, Pilate probably would have let him go. But Jesus kept his mouth shut. Because though he himself was not guilty of all those things, he was not going to that cross because of himself. He was going to that cross because you and I were guilty of all those things he was accused of. And so there on that cross, he died in our place. That's why he's called the second and the last Adam. You see, Adam, in Adam, all humanity was wrapped up in Adam. When Adam sinned, all humanity sinned in him. And the very, 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 very best that Adam could produce was a sinner. That's why you don't have to do a thing to be a sinner. You say, preacher, what do I have to do to be a sinner? All you got to do is be born. You come in this world a sinner. Because that's all Adam could produce. But Jesus Christ stood there before Pilate. And while he was standing before Pilate, he was standing before God. And he stood there representing man. He's the last Adam. God tested man once in the first Adam and man failed. God tested man again in the last Adam and he succeeded. And those that are put in that last Adam, they have eternal life. They share all his... Listen, you share all that he was. We baptized here last week, and you notice when a man dies, or when a man's baptized, what is he saying? He's died. He's dying with Christ. God puts him into Christ, and he shares all that Christ was and all that Christ is going to be. You say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, because when you're saved, God already sits you on the right hand of God. Where is Jesus now? He's seated at the right hand of God. If we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ, where are we? You say, preacher, I'm sitting right here. I don't know about where you're at. But if you're saved, you might be sitting right here, but there's a part of you that's sitting at the right hand of God. You say, that's an impossibility. Well, you take that up with God. He's the one that said it. I just choose to believe it. And you say, well, I don't believe it. Well, that just makes you an unbeliever then. You know, but I just choose to believe it because that's what God said. But he died in our place. He died for our sins. That we, as what's that say in 2 Corinthians? Well, let's turn over there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And verse number 20. I believe it's verse number 20. Well, verse number 20 says, now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. For he hath made him, that's God hath made Christ. He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made what? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, all salvation's wrapped up in him. Listen, everything that you do is wrapped up in him. Everything that you do that's pleasing to God. I believe the Sunday school lesson this morning was about, had something to do, whatever you do, do as unto him. You say, well, why as unto him? Well, because the Bible says that you can't please to God, please the Father without pleasing the Son. He that honors the Son honors the Father also. So if you and I will live like Jesus in honor for him and do everything that we can in honor of him and to try to be like him, then we're going to be pleasing to God. And so that life is in his Son. He's given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. So it's not in ourselves. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 and verse number 9. Let me just turn over there and I'll read it to you. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8 and verse number 9. Here again the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now you notice that you're saved by grace through faith. Through faith in Jesus Christ. Now that's not faith in faith. You know, you hear people talk about, I'm a person of faith. Well, that doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Because if you're a person of faith and your faith is in your church, you're still not going to heaven. If your faith is in your good works, you're still not going to heaven. Your faith has to be placed in the right object, and that object is Jesus Christ. If your dependence on righteousness, what you're looking for is to make you right with God, has anything to do with your self-effort, it's misplaced this morning. For by grace are you saved through faith. You see, really, and I've told you this before, there's really only two kinds of religion in this world. There's a religion of man's self-effort. Man's got to do something in order to be saved. And there's a religion of the grace of God, which simply says that God has done everything necessary to make you right with him. For God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Who was the one who bore our sins? It was Jesus Christ. Who was the one that gave us Jesus Christ's righteousness? That was God the Father. Who was the one that Jesus Christ died to please? Well, Isaiah says that it pleased him to bruise him. It pleased God to bruise him. He died under the wrath of God. You say he died under the wrath of the Romans. No, he died under the wrath of God. You see, when you and I look at the cross, we see the physical sufferings. But there was a lot more to that suffering than the physical sufferings. Because there were 3 hours of that day that God turned out the light so that man could not see in. And I believe during those 3 hours, God poured out his wrath upon his Son. And when those 3 hours were ended, God was satisfied. And Jesus Christ lifted his eyes up in the heavens and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost and died. You see, salvation is of the Lord. From beginning to end, salvation is of the Lord. That way it can be sure to every one of us who will put our faith in what Jesus Christ did on our behalf. And so, it's not of ourselves. It's not of works. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5 says, with the grace of God, that which are, well, let me read that. I think I'm quoting the wrong verse. Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 5. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And you'll notice it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Paul said there's not, if there'd been a law that could give life, surely righteousness would have been by the law. But there's not a law that can give life. And since we, you and I, are dead in trespasses and sin, we have to be given life. And that life is in his Son. Matter of fact, John chapter number 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. By him were all things made, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, life is in Jesus Christ. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have life. Not only is it not in us, it's not in our works, but it's not in any other man. You see, the Bible declares in 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. And that mediator is Christ Jesus. It's not the Pope. It's not the priest. It's not the Baptist preacher. It's not anybody else. The only mediator between God and man, the only way that you can get into heaven is through Jesus Christ. The only one that you need to confess your sinfulness to is to God. And it's not in any institution either. There's not a church that can get you into heaven. The church can't mediate for you. Now, we can pray for you if you're wrong and you need somebody to pray for you, or you're sick and you need somebody to pray for you. We can intercede for you. But that's all we can do. But when it comes to this matter of righteousness, the church can't help you there. There's only one who can help you. That's Jesus Christ. And so, here, this is the record. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verse number 12 says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So the question this morning that you need to answer, and I need to answer, is, do you have the Son? Do you have the Son? You say, well, preacher, how do we get the Son? Well, let me ask you. Well, I'll skip that part. I was going to answer, who is the Son? Well, we know who the Son is. Well, like I just quoted you, John chapter number 1. He's God come in human flesh. And you can read that to you. That's what you read about. And when you read about the story there, the birth of Jesus Christ there in Luke chapter number 1. John chapter 3 and verse number 16 says he's the only begotten Son. You say, why is he the only begotten Son? Because there's only one mediator. There's only one that's ever come into the world the way that Jesus Christ came into the world. Everybody else that's come into this world has come into this world by Adam. They were conceived out of Adam's stock. But Jesus Christ was not conceived out of Adam's stock. Jesus Christ was conceived by God the Father, by God himself. So he was God in human flesh. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So the question needs to be asked then, if that's who he is, how do we get the Son? Well, Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 6. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 6. Turn there with me, if you will. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 6. Here the Bible says, well, that's not the right verse. I think it's supposed to be Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6. Colossians chapter 2 verse number 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. This talks about receiving him. And as you have received him. Well, how did you receive him? Well, look back over in chapter number 1 and verse number 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all saints. But you notice now he says, we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. That's how they received him. They received him by faith. You say, well, what is faith? Faith is being persuaded of something. To be persuaded of something. And my question to you, well, let me read this little part of this definition, and then I got another verse I want to read to you. But faith is conviction of truth, generally with the idea of trust and holy fervor. It's being convicted of a truth enough to put your trust in it. My question to you, well, let me go back up. Let me read a couple more verses to you. And then I'll ask you the question. Galatians or Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 20. Listen to this verse in Matthew chapter number 5. Now Jesus is talking to the religious people of his day. Well, he's talking to all the people, but he's pointing toward the religious people. And he says, I say unto you that except your righteousness, and I want you to underline that word righteousness, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you're going to have a righteousness that exceeds the religious people of Jesus' day. Turn with me to Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 9. Philippians chapter number 3. Now if you read through the story of here of Paul, you'll find out that he was a Pharisee. He was one of those religious leaders. And a very good one at that. And you can go back and read through that if you'd like. But in verse number 9 of... Well, let me back up. Let me just read it to you. Verse number 4 says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised of the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisees, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Now Paul said, I've got a pretty good righteousness that I can trust in. He said, I found those things not worth even mentioning. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So Paul said, I have my own righteousness, but it wasn't good enough. So what I needed the righteousness of God, which is, by the way, is the only righteousness God will accept. You say, why is that? Because it's the only righteousness which is perfect. Then Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 3. And when you read these verses, I want you to think about the average person that you know. The average religious person that you know. Because this is where most of religious America is. Romans chapter 10 verse number 3. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You ask the average religious person why they're going to heaven, they'll tell you, well, I'm a member of so-and-so church. I've been baptized. I've been this. I'm doing that. I'm a good person. You know what America has done? Religious America has done the same thing that Israel has done. They're ignorant of the righteousness of God. And they've gone about to establish their own righteousness and to preach their own religions and say that if you'll do this, that, and the other, if you'll follow me and you'll follow what I have to say and you'll follow my teachings, then God will accept you. Well, the only problem is that's not so. God said the only righteousness he'll accept is that which comes by faith in Jesus Christ. That righteousness which is bestowed upon us. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The only righteousness that God will accept is the righteousness of the grace of God. That righteousness which is received by faith. So I'm going to ask you this question this morning. If I were to ask you why, if you were to get to heaven and God were to say, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you answer? If your answer is, Lord, I've done this, I've done that. And by the way, he did say, there were many who would say to him in that day, Lord, have we not preached in thy name and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I say unto you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Though they were religious, they were dependent upon their own righteousness. And God says that's not acceptable. So my question to you this morning is, whose righteousness are you dependent on to get you into heaven? If you're dependent on your own righteousness, may I say to you this morning, it does not matter how much faith you have in that righteousness. It does not matter how hard you believe in that righteousness. If your faith is in your righteousness, you are sadly mistaken this morning and you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. The only way that you're going into the kingdom of heaven is when you realize that your righteousness is nothing but filthy rag, and the only hope that you have is in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and you're willing to put your trust there and in that alone. The songwriter said, in my hands no price I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. If you're clinging to anything else this morning, you're clinging to the wrong thing. Is your faith in what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross? Let me say it to you in the words of the little chorus. It is surely sufficient for me. It is surely sufficient for me. If that blood of Christ is sufficient for God, the question is it sufficient for you? Or do you think you've got to add something to it? That's God's record. That's not my record. Listen, if it was my record, I'd find some way that's a little bit easier. I'd find some way that everybody could get in. You know, well, if you do this, you do that, that's good enough. God will accept that. At least you're making forth a good effort. God says, no, that's not right. Faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the only thing that God will accept. You say, preacher, that's too narrow. Jesus said, narrow is the way and straight is the gate that leads into eternal life, and very few there be that find it. You know why most people are going to miss heaven? A lot of people are going to miss heaven because they're ignorant. They just don't, they've never heard of the gospel. But there's going to be a lot of people who miss heaven because they would not follow and go the straight and narrow way. That way of faith. You see, man is bound and determined. Man is a very egotistical creature. He's bound and determined if he's going to get to heaven, he's going to have something to do with it. Man, yes, our preacher in North Carolina used to say, man is for the most part, he's got hen house religion. You say, what in the world's hen house religion? Well, that's when you get to heaven and say, look what I did. You know? But it's not going to be that way. No man's ever going to get to heaven, pop his suspender straps at God and say, look at what I did for you. Nope. When you look at you look around the throne, you read there in Revelation chapter number 5, and you listen to those people around the throne, you know what they're saying? We're here because thou hast redeemed us through thy blood out of every kindred, nation, tongue. If you hadn't have done it, we wouldn't have been here. All of heaven is going to be about looking to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. That's God's record. Do you believe God's record? Do you have God's Son? If you got God's Son, you have it by faith. That's the only way you can get it. You can't undo your sin. There's no way that you'll ever pay enough to outdo your sin. To undo your sin. You can't do it. You know that if you put a man in hell, you ever thought about this? You say, well, why don't God let man suffer for a while and then take him out? Because if and take him to heaven. You ever wonder why God put the devil in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, chained him up there in torments, let him out, and what did he do? He went right back and did the same thing. Deceived the nations. You ever wondered why when God takes out all the lost there at the end of the tribulation there and starts the millennium, and after that 1,000 years when the devil's loose, you ever wonder why he can go out and deceive the nations again? Because without the new birth, without that new nature, man's the same old sinful creature. You ever wonder why that millennium is a time of peace, but you ever notice that he's going to rule with a rod of iron? Why is that? Because man left in his old nature is still in his old nature. He's still a rebel. You can put a man in hell for 1,000,000 years, take him out, but because his nature is still the same, he'll still be a sinner. The only way to cure it is man has to be given a new nature. And the only way that God can cure your sin problem and take you to heaven is you're going to have a new nature. And the only way that you can get that new nature is by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, His Son, and trusting Him and Him alone for your salvation. Now you'll notice that in our text in verse number 12, he that hath the Son hath life. You're not going to get it when you die. You have it now. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. You don't wait till you see. The idea is, a lot of people's ideas, you're going to go stand before God, and if your good works outweigh your bad works, you're going to get to go to heaven. Well, the only problem is that there's no truth to that. You see, you either have life, the state in which you die. If you have life and die in life, your body's going to go to sleep. But one day God's going to resurrect that body. But if you die and you're dead when you die, if you're still dead in your trespasses and sin, when you die, you'll be eternally dead. You say, preacher, that's hard. That's the greatest thing that God could ever do for us. Because that way we can know for sure where we're going. And that's the only way. The only way that you can know for sure if you're going to heaven or hell is if God did everything necessary to get you there and says, now if you'll trust me, I'll give it to you and you can have it now. And then when you die, you know you already have it. That's how great God is. No wonder the writer of Hebrews says, talks about unto him who is able to save unto the uttermost. Salvation can't be improved upon. Because God did everything necessary, to get you into heaven, and everything necessary to make you fruitful in this life. Everything necessary to make you pleasing to God, God has done in Jesus Christ. So the question is, do you have life? Have you believed report? Again, Isaiah's question, Lord, who hath believed our report? This is God's report of His Son. My question to you this morning, have you believed it? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone and what He did for you for righteousness? Or do you think that somehow or another you've got to do something? Number one, you can't be saved without faith in Jesus Christ's righteousness. But number two, you can't have assurance of your salvation unless you are sure that what Jesus Christ did for you was enough. Otherwise, every time you falter and fail, you're going to say, well, I wonder if I'm really saved. I wonder if I really did enough. I wonder if I'm going to come up short. Won't you just believe what God says? God says if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ, He'll save you. God says if you'll put your faith in what His Son did for you, He'll give you the righteousness that's necessary to stand before you. And that your sins and your iniquities, he'll never remember no more. He'll never bring them back up to you again. And if you have that confidence that Jesus Christ has done what God said he's done, you don't have to worry about it. You can know for sure that you're going to heaven. Even with all your faults and failures and all your problems, all your shortcomings, you can know you're going to heaven because it doesn't depend on you anyway. It depends on God. I am glad that salvation is of the Lord. And I am here to report to you this morning that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died under the wrath of God. I believe he did everything that he did because he was worried, concerned about me, and he wanted me to be able to be forgiven and go to heaven. That's what I'm trusting in. And because I know God's true to his promise, I can say to you this morning, I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. With all my shortcomings and failures, I know I'm still going. Because there's no shortcomings and failures in the Son of God. That's my trust. What about you this morning?